You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 20, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for America's Day of Repentance. I teach the word first, and then we pray and believe, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. Excuse me. I'm right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And I also want to invite you to come here on August 4th at 6 p.m. for the Marvelous Merson Movie. It's about 45 minutes, and it's going to be great. We're going to have refreshments. My twin friend Scott Merson has a supernatural gift from God. He takes pictures, and you can see the heavenly host. You can see angels. You can see scrolls flying through the air like Ezekiel did. So that's August 4th, 6 p.m. By the way, Scott verifies every picture with the Word of God, and he calls it Walking with the Word, the Marvelous Merson Movie, and refreshments will be served. And now, Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, your best place is your cross. Your best place is your cross. We left off last time with Peter declaring out of his mouth a great truth. And Jesus said, Peter, you said that so great that on what you just said, I'm going to build my church and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Well, what did Peter say? Peter said to Jesus, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ, Greek Christos, you are the Messiah, you are the anointed one. And now, your best place is your cross.
Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
Until he was risen from the dead, he still had to die on a cross. It just wasn't time yet.
Verse 21. From that time forth, then Jesus, to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day.
At this point, they did not know that Jesus came to die. They did not know that there were going to be two advents of Jesus. This is very hard for Jesus. He loves them and they love him. It's going to be hard for him to break the news to them. But he came to die and they've got to realize that.
Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.
Now, Peter is a great swordsman. Later on, he would chop off the ear of the high priest servant Malchus when they tried to arrest Jesus. So he loved Jesus so much, he said, No, I'll fight for you. He loved Jesus. All people who really love Jesus fight. Amen. Fight for the right. Amen. They fight for Jesus. No lukewarm people loving Jesus.
Amen. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but things that be of men.
Now, Jesus is not actually talking to Peter. He's talking to Satan, the devil. Because you see, the devil takes beautiful love and twists it. The devil took the beautiful love that Peter had for Jesus and twisted it. Besides, the devil doesn't want to die because he knew that when Jesus died, the devil was a defeated foe. Be sure to understand that one of the devil's greatest method of operations to trip you up is the word love. See, everybody loves love, and everybody wants to be loved. But you see, there's a right way to love. The devil aberrates it, and you think it's okay. He always twists it. Watch out for that.
Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Now, there was only one who could die on the old rugged cross to pay our sin debt because he was a sinless one. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know in Romans chapter 6, it says that when Jesus was crucified, your old man was crucified with him. Okay? So this does not mean that you actually have to be nailed to a cross, but what it means is that you have to surrender your all to God, die to your self-centeredness, die to me, myself, and I. In other words, some of you have made Jesus your Savior, but he's not your Lord. He's your Savior on Sunday, but he's not your Lord on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, okay? You have to die to yourself. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And then Paul says, the Father within, he doeth the work. See, a lot of you Christians are trying to be saved from the outside in. It's an inside job. If you're really saved, Jesus came and is in you now. Now, there are developments of that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, etc. So you see, many of you are trying so hard to live the Christian life. She's trying so hard. He's trying so hard. You're trying so hard to pray. You're trying so hard to do it right. Something's wrong. See, we're dead. We died with him on the cross, and when he arose in us, and now we have everlasting life. Your best place is when you take up your cross and follow him, because then you'll be in his perfect will, and you'll stop trying to fight yourself in the world.
Amen.
Verse 25, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
Okay, now this is talking to Christians, all right. You love the Lord, but you're still trying to be me, myself, and I. My money, my job, my friends, my relationship, my fun, okay? No, you're trying to save your life. What happens? How sad for you. You've lost the purpose for which Jesus sent you. Jesus did not send you here so you could have fun and be popular and have money. He sent you here for himself. So see, if you're trying to save yourself and have your fun and your money and all about you, you have lost your purpose.
And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
But when you nail yourself to the cross and give up your desires and surrender to him, then you're going to find yourself. Because you see, the greatest peace in this world is when you don't live anymore. Jesus lives in you. And you're in your perfect place. You're in his perfect will. Now that's the best place to be. And then you find your life and you find out why God sent you through your mother's womb.
Amen.
Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
A soul is you. Now look at the lost people. Look at the people who go to Washington. We elect them. and they get up there and join the money club, and they're the elites, and they lie to us, and they get very rich in a short time, and they want fame and fortune. Some of you want fame and fortune and popularity and fun and houses and lands. But my Lord God, if you don't have Jesus, when you stand before his great white throne judgment, your soul will go into the lake of fire. All that you have gained means nothing because you won't be there to enjoy it.
Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
I tell you what you could give. You could give your life to Jesus. And you Christians could stop just making him your savior. You could make him your Lord. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Your Lord in everything, in your money, in your relationships, in your work, in your prayer, in your coming and your going. And if you will give up your life for him and love Jesus, your eternal soul will be saved.
Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Now, we all know you're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus died for us. We have to believe in him. But once you're saved, works become very important. Revelation tells us that the second advent of Jesus, when he comes again, he's going to have rewards with him. Like a daddy goes away on a trip and brings little presents for his children. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And now he's talking to the saved only, Christians, okay? Every Christian will stand there. And so, all of your works after you were saved are going to be tried by fire, okay? If your works are gold and silver and brass, that means they were real, they were solid, they increased the kingdom of God, you're going to get rewards. But if you didn't have any works, old wood, hay, stubble, you went to church, I mean, but you know, you weren't totally devoted, and you didn't take up your cross, wood, hay, stubble. And Paul says in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, that you will be saved, but you will be naked for all eternity. For remember the righteous acts of saints after salvation weave the beautiful gown we're going to wear. So you want to take up your cross and follow him, die to yourself, give up everything about you. It's the best place you'll ever be. Serve him, live for him, and great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a king and his dominion, okay? Now, all of these 12 disciples actually died in the flesh before the second advent of Jesus. But Jesus just said some of them would see him in his kingdom. So when did Jesus' kingdom come to earth? When he resurrected from the dead. That was when the kingdom of Jesus came to earth. For at that point, because he defeated death, whose name is the devil, he has began to be forever and ever King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of course, these apostles saw him 40 days after that. So you see, the kingdom is right now. Now, it's going to get better when he comes a second time, because that old devil that he's got on a leash, he's going to throw him and all his ilk in the lake of fire, and everything's going to be great. But right now, you're in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We love our America. We're faithful citizens of America, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus is our king, and we're his dominion. The kingdom is at hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Elijah and the moon to blood. Elijah and the moon to blood.
Verse 1. And after 6 days.
Now, right there is a clue. Six in biblical numerics means depraved mankind. And the most depraved of all is Lucifer. Six is a number of the about to appear Antichrist. He is instead of Christ. He's going to look like Jesus, act like him, two horns of a lamb, but is the voice of the dragon. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. The Antichrist, instead of Christ, comes at the sixth trump, the sixth event, And Jesus comes at the seventh event, okay? So what we're finding here, because he said six, we're going to learn something about the Antichrist. Now, we learned on Wednesday that we are right now in the threshold of the door of the Antichrist. You're the generation of the fig tree. Antichrist is coming. But remember, Revelation 13 says the whole world will call him God, and half of the body of Christ will think he's Jesus, because he's going to say peace and safety cause craft to prosper. So we're on the threshold there. We don't know how long it's going to be. It could be tomorrow, it could be 10 days or 10 years, but we're on the threshold. So this is a message to you about the Antichrist.
Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, up into a high mountain apart.
Now, since Jesus has got to get it into Peter, James, and John's head that he came to die, he's going to take them to a higher level of understanding. And I say to you that because we are already in the first part of the sixth trump, it's time for every one of you to come on up to a higher level of understanding, so you will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist.
Verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
Later on in 95 BC, this same John, seeing that, would write about that in Revelation 1. John wrote, his head and his hair white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like a defined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Beautiful Jesus. He was showing them his resurrected body, his transfigured body on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was to get them to understand that, yes, he was going to die, but he was going to arise from the dead.
Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them.
Elias is Elijah the prophet, and Moses is the lawgiver, the word giver. What he's saying here is, disciples, you read the Bible, all of the prophets, and Elijah is the chief prophet, he's so anointed, and Moses in the Torah wrote that the Messiah would come, that he would die, but that he would rise from the dead.
Verse 4, then answered Peter, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
Bless Peter. Doesn't he have a great heart? But Peter doesn't yet understand that that vision he just saw is after the resurrection. Peter thinks that this is the final advent, that Jesus is going to establish his kingdom on earth, and that Moses and Elijah will be with him, because that's what that's what Peter thinks. So he's going to make a tabernacle. We learn in Revelation that in the heaven on earth at the second advent after the millennium, that we don't need a tabernacle because Jesus is the temple thereof. Now, notice that Peter recognized that that was Elijah, and he recognized that that was Moses. That's such good news, because in the spirit, in heaven on earth, we will know our loved ones. We shall know as we are known. The book of Ezekiel from 40 through 48 has more information about the millennium time and about heaven on earth than even Revelation. And Ezekiel says in chapter 44, verse 25, that we will know our loved ones. He mentions father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter. Doesn't that make you feel better? Yes. You will know our loved ones. We shall know as we are known.
Verse 5. But while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said.
Now the voice out of that cloud is God the Father, who is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was speaking through the cloud. There are no coincidences for those of us who love God. It is no coincidence that we are now on SoundCloud. Amen. And what do we teach here? The Word. Amen. The Word, SoundCloud. Amen. If you get my drift.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
You're hearing all kinds of voices. Your friends, your mates, your work people, the fake lying media, all kinds of things. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22.
Verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid.
Don't you ever take for granted the fact that God is talking to you all the time. It's not casual. It touches your heart. Your tears come. He is so beautiful. He's so gentle. You just cry for the love that he would talk to you. The potter is talking to the clay. Do you hear him? Do you know his voice?
Verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid.
Did you know Jesus is always saying, Fear not, I have overcome the world.
Verse 8. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only.
When you finally die to yourself and take up your cross and live only for Jesus in your social life, your work life, your money life, your going and your coming, in every part of your life, what you're going to do is you're only going to see Jesus. In other words, he's the one who died for you. There was one who was willing to die in your stead. So everything about your life ought to be Jesus. Your friendships, Jesus should be there. Going out to dinner, it should be Jesus. Praying, going to church, working, news, making money, everything is Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
The reason it wasn't time there, but after he arose from the dead, in Revelation chapter 11, this same John wrote about Elijah and Moses, and they're called the two witnesses, and they come a little while before number 6, the Antichrist.
Verse 10, and his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?
All right, they knew Malachi chapter 4, the scripture which says, Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God will send the prophet Elijah to restore all things. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Okay, they knew this scripture. That's very good. Now remember, there are two Advents. That means Elijah had to come before the first Advent when Jesus came, and Elijah, the anointed, is coming before the second Advent.
Verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things.
When the Elijah comes before the first Advent, the second, they're going to tell you the truth. See, it says Elijah tells you their two fathers. What happened in the garden has been so distorted. The Elijah anointing, first Advent and second Advent, always tells you their two fathers, that Satan beguiled Eve and bore Cain, and the devil has children. Anytime If you hear that, you know that Elijah anointing is hovering. Mm.
Yeah. Verse 12. But I say unto you that Elias is come already.
He's already come, says Jesus, first advent.
And they knew him not, but had done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them.
All right. So he says John the Baptist is Elijah. Do you remember that it was even said to Zechariah and Luke that John the Baptist would come in the anointing of Elijah? So Jesus is telling them it was John the Baptist. Now remember, Elijah did not die. He was taken up many years before in a whirlwind, a highly polished bronze vehicle, a chariot of fire. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Reincarnation teaches that you live different lifetimes in a flesh body. No. You only live one time in the flesh, and this is it, the second earth age. But Elijah never died. So, now remember John the Baptist. He was born 6 months before Jesus. Remember, the prophet Elijah comes before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay. John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus, a voice preparing the way for the Lord. And the children of the devil came there to taunt him. And John the Baptist spake in a parable. He said, "You generation of vipers." Generation in the Greek means sperm, seed, brood, children. Vipers is a metaphor for the snake, the serpent in the garden. John the Baptist, with the anointing of Elijah, told you there are two fathers, and you hypocrites, you're the children of your father, the devil. Now that's the Elijah anointing. However, Jesus died. He arose. He's coming back again. Now, Revelation 11, John wrote they're going to be coming again, two witnesses with the anointing of Elisha. All right. And he tells us there that these two witnesses, with the anointing of the prophet Elisha, and with the word of God like Moses in them, that they are coming a few days before Antichrist. The Antichrist is a devil. He's about to come. We're on the threshold of that. He's going to pretend to be Jesus, say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. He'll look like Jesus and act like him. And Revelation 11 says that. Now, all right, since it comes a little bit before him. Now, we know that the book of Zechariah makes it even more realistic. Zechariah says, there are two olive trees and two lampstands that stand before the God of the whole earth. Olive means the anointing. So the two witnesses, of whom you're going to be aware, have the anointing of the prophet Elijah. But the lampstand means they have the light, the truth. They have the word of God like Moses did. All right, but it's still just two. They have the anointing of Elijah, and they have the truth of the word of God. And they come a few days, Revelation 11 tells us, before the Antichrist. Who are they? Are they Moses and Elijah? It didn't say that. It has the anointing. And beside, the Greek does not give a gender. If it's male, it'll usually say M. If it's female, it'll say F. God left that for us to wait and find out. Whoever they are, whoever these two witnesses are, they're going to tell you that they are two fathers. They're going to have the anointing of Elisha, and they're going to know every word of God.
Amen.
Sounds to me like you just heard a little bit about that.
Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Then they began to remember what John said, that he was Elijah come, the anointing of Elijah in him, the spirit of Elijah in him. Now they still don't get it, that they're going to be two advents, and the same anointing of Elijah and Moses will come just before the Antichrist, who comes a short time before Jesus comes. They don't get it yet.
Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, oft into the water.
Now, The word lunatic comes from the word luna, and luna means moon. The Bible says that the moon shall turn to blood before the coming of the Lord. Now, moon is a prophecy of the Antichrist, okay? Now, we've been seeing blood moons. In science, that actually happens, that the earth comes between the moon and the sun. Normally, the moon gets a reflection of light from the sun, but it doesn't do that. It turns to blood. So you've been seeing some blood moons, but that's not what this is talking about. He's talking about the lunatic spirit is a spirit of the Antichrist, and he's about to come to earth, and he's the moon, he's a lunar, he's a devil, and he's coming to man with blood coursing through your veins. And he comes before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have blood coursing through your veins? Okay. You're about to see the moon turn to blood. Now, God put that illustration in the sky because in Genesis 1, the sun and the moon are for signs and seasons. When you see the blood moon they're talking about right now, that's telling you it's about time for the one that moon represents, the devil, the lunatic spirit, the Antichrist, to come to earth to you, man, with blood coursing through your veins. Do you get it?
Yep.
Yes. 16. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?
Jesus is about to go to the cross, and these disciples have learned how to cast out regular old demons. But there's a difference between regular demons, you know, the ones that lie in pornography and steal and murder and cheat and all that. That's different from a devil. See, the lunatic spirit in that child is actually the devil's spirit. Right now in the United States of America, the lunatic spirit, the devil himself, has taken over America. It's called communism, socialism, Marxism, the political system of the Antichrist, but he's in charge of that. So this is a different kind of a devil. This is the devil himself.
Bring him hither to me. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him.
The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And the Bible tells you in Luke 10:19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Scorpions are the regular old ordinary demons, you know, lying, cheating, stealing. Serpents is the devil himself, that old dragon, the lunatic spirit, that moon about to come, calling himself Christ, but is the devil with his Jesus costume. Will you know the difference?
And the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast them out? Verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed,
the tiniest seed. But you see, God has given to every human being enough faith. Every one of you has faith at least as small as a mustard seed. And that's enough to do what?
You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Of course, it's not a literal mountain. Jesus always speaks in parables. What's the subject here? Lunatic, the devil spirit, the mountain, the nation of the devil. In other words, the Kenite nation, the devil's children. The Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. So you see, you have power over scorpions, those regular demons, in the name of Jesus, but you also have power over the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Therefore, since the lunatic spirit has taken over America and put us captured us, communism, socialism, Marxism, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, on the verity of the Word of God, we, God's children in America, command you, lunatic spirit, communism, socialism, Marxism be removed from your place of power and go into the abyss in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We don't want to leave it empty.
Amen.
Oh Lord, Jesus, be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book. I pray you are blessed. We'll begin right there. Next time. At this time, I want to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, and I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree in Jesus' name, absolutely. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be a glorious throne to his father's house. Isaiah 22:22.
Absolutely. Amen. Perfect. Thank you. That is great, Scott. That is so beautiful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But it's later than you think. You better give your life to Jesus. And those of you who are Christians, don't just make him your savior. He better be your Lord. We're in the beginning of the sixth trump. We're the threshold. We don't know how long, but we know we're near him. Okay. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it. And God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, all of you out there in cyberspace, if you prayed that, the Bible says confession is made of salvation. You're supposed to tell someone. I invite you to call and leave your message on my voicemail. You'll get my number in a little bit, and I will pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. Every Sunday, I ask God to show me for what part of the body I should pray. So this time, I feel led to pray for your head, all about your head. Some of you have extreme pressure in your head, and it's a pressure, and there are all kind of things going on in your head. So, Father, in Jesus' name, according to your word in Malachi 4, you said to those that fear your name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. So, Son of Righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you please to take your wings, your laser beams, and go into the skulls, into the heads, and cause the molecules to get into divine order. Cause the electrodes to get into divine order. Where their dead cells rejuvenate, make new cells. Let there be the mind of Christ, the right thinking. No delay in thinking, no memory loss. In the name of Jesus, the mind of Christ. Perfect divine order in your brain, your cells, your electrodes, your molecules. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. To God be the glory. We all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing's given for you to keep. God's law of reciprocity. Give it away, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the sound cloud of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
Listen to Sherry Medlock's Trumpet of Truth every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMIE. Sherry is an anointed missionary messenger to America, teaching God's word book by book, chapter by chapter, and line by line. You can hear all of Sherry's teachings on demand on the WMIEFM.com website or on the SoundCloud app 24/7 by typing Sherry, that's S-H-A-R-I, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. That's on the SoundCloud app. And remember John 17:17. Thy word is truth.
WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? love is a beautiful thing. It takes a heart and lets it sing. Love changes everything. It ends the war that lies within.
Thank you.
and your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
What Israel did was throw a wrench in God's program.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how the chosen people failed to recognize the Messiah and what the Lord plans to do about it.
God says to Israel, you've rejected the cornerstone, so I have another plan.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. When Israel rejected Jesus, did God unchoose his chosen people? We'll find out today as Dr. Evans talks about the relationship between Israel and the church. Let's join him.
You cannot understand history his story without the backstory. Just to give a quick, brief summary, God created angels. The star angel, Lucifer, rebelled, took one-third of the angels with him. He was found guilty of cosmic treason. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, but God decided rather than carry out the sentence right away, he would use the rebellion of Satan for his greater glory. What God decided to do in the garden was place a lesser creature, constitutionally inferior, to demonstrate if he could work out this lesser creature right, it would overcome the creature that rebelled against him. The problem occurred, however, when Satan tricked Adam and Adam fell, producing the angelic conflict or the battle of the seeds. Because Genesis 3:15 says,